Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, text 45. Dharma Bhagavatanam cha Bhagavan yena gamyate Akyane smin samam natam Adyatmikam asheshataha. Dharma, religious principles. Bhagavatanam, of the devotees. Cha, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yena, by which Gamyate, one can understand. Akyane, in the narration. Asmin, this. Samamyanatam, is perfectly described. Adhyatmikam, transcendence. Asheshataha, without reservation. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavad Dharma. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. Prabhupada. Through the principles of religion, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, and Paramatma, the localized aspect of the Lord. When one is well conversant with all these principles, he becomes a devotee and performs Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad Maharaj, his spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, has advised that this Bhagavad Dharma be instructed to students from the very beginning of their education. Kamara acharat pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. To understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the real purpose of education. Shrinvatam shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. One must simply hear about and describe Lord Vishnu and his various incarnations. This narration concerning Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev therefore has properly described spiritual transcendental subjects. Dharmo bhagavatanam cha bhagavan yena gamyate akyane smin samam natam adyatmikam asheshataha. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavad Dharma. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. We should be convinced that actually we're actually learning something. Everyone else, practically speaking, in spite of the big, big educational institutions, is actually simply cultivating more nescience. Therefore, sometimes they describe a PhD as piling it higher and deeper. And why are we saying that we're actually learning something? Because this is actual knowledge. Knowledge, it's an actual science. As I mentioned before, Srila Prabhupada was at a university in Durban, along with some other persons who were giving a conference. And during the conference, Prabhupada said that this is the science of transmigration. So one of the other conference givers, giving a lecture, challenged Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, why are you calling transmigration a science? It's a Hindu doctrine. So Prabhupada's response was, it's not a Hindu doctrine. Just like it wasn't that 5,000 years ago, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, and he said, my dear Arjuna, unfortunately we're on a battlefield, and many people will be killed here. But it's very fortunate for you because you happen to be speaking to a Hindu god, me. And you happen to be a Hindu, so let's speak Hindu philosophy. So according to Hindu philosophy, all Hindus have bodies that change. And since you're a Hindu, your body is changing. Luckily, you have a soul, because you're Hindus, all Hindus also have souls. So at the time of leaving your Hindu body, the soul will get another Hindu body, hopefully. The self-realized Hindus are not bewildered by all these changes. Krishna didn't say that only the Hindus' bodies are changing, and all other people, their bodies are exactly as they were when they were in the womb of their mother. And that only Hindus have souls, and everyone else doesn't have a soul. And therefore, when they have to leave their unchanging body, they disappear. No, the fact is that everyone has a body that's changing. Not only human beings, but all the animals and the plants and all living entities in this world have bodies of changing. But the living entity who's conscious of the body is unchanging. Therefore, it's concluded, if despite all the different changes of the body, the soul doesn't change. So the final change of the body, the soul is not going to change either. He'll simply go someplace else. So this is actual science. Everything else besides that is called ignorance, avidya. Because people are working the bodily concept of life, therefore essentially they're working in ignorance. Doesn't matter how technically advanced one may become. And indeed, technology is usually used for the detriment of the living entity. And the existence of Paramatma is not some sentimental supposition, religious doctrine. It's a reality that everyone within their heart, they have someone who's giving them remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, sometimes we can remember something, and sometimes we don't. Everyone has desires, and everyone is choosing which desires to want to fulfill. And the person who's sensing those desires, like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, is also the one who's giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. As Krishna gives a little ant the power to find sugar, he gives them the intelligence, so he can also give us the same intelligence, but in the competition between the ant and the human being to find sugar, the ant has more intelligence. He's better empowered to find sugar than a human being. Therefore, in every species of life, everywhere, we find intelligence. And that intelligence is directed by the super soul, given by the super soul. Every living entity sometimes remembers and sometimes forgets. Sometimes our memory is stronger and sometimes it's weaker. And that depends upon our activities also. If we qualify for better remembrance, then we can remember something. Just like this verse, if we actually try to remember the verse, then we'll become qualified. And how do we remember it? Principally by paying attention. And by repeating it until we actually see that we've actually learned it. So Krishna will give us that ability. If we want to learn something, he'll teach us how to learn it and he'll help us remember it if we actually show some desire to do so. So desire is not born out of simply whim, it's born out of an actual activity. Our activities create desires, and our desires create activities. So this is all guided by the super soul, guiding everything in the material universe, including the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, the planets moving their orbits, our power of digestion, that we eat something, it's digested, assimilated, and unnecessary parts are eliminated, all by superior intelligence. So this is the knowledge of the super soul, how the super soul is controlling the universe. We cut our finger, then immediately there's an arrangement so that so many different chemicals and different living entities within our body come together in order to heal that cut. Inconceivable number of reactions and activities that go on in order to just heal a simple cut, all without our conscious endeavor. So this is going on by superior intelligence coming from the supersoul, guiding the material nature, and therefore, with a little intelligence, we can understand the existence of the soul and the supersoul. But according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not that the supersoul exists simply to fulfill the desires of the living entities. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the supersoul exists in another world where he enjoys unlimited pastimes with his ever-liberated soul, other souls, who are not simply desiring in terms of the gross and subtle material energy, but is desiring in terms of Krishna. Here in the material world, the soul is desiring, but he's desiring simply in terms of illusory body and both gross and subtle that he's acquired, and desiring so many things in relation to these things, which actually have no meaning to the soul or to the supersoul who's guiding him. But there exists a world where that ever-powerful, liberated, supreme personality of Godhead is guiding this, is also in a relation with the souls, but souls who are not desiring in terms of material energy, but desiring in terms of the spiritual energy. So with a little intelligence, we can understand that, and that's the science of Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are many other details, but that's the basic knowledge. And if one learns that knowledge, then he's learning something. And if one doesn't learn that knowledge, he's just wasting his time. Just desiring in terms of material nature, whether in goodness or in passion or ignorance, has nothing to do with the soul. He's simply desiring some illusory, something illusory which will never benefit him or anyone else. And if the soul learns how to desire in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he actually becomes awake. He actually does something beneficial for himself. And if he teaches others the same thing, then he's doing something beneficial for them. So this is not a sentimental philosophy. This is philosophy. Everything else is just ignorance. No matter how much they decorate with words, as it says, anyone know that verse? About decorated words? Itir tabude, let's see. Tadvayasam tirtam usanti manasa niyatra hamsa niriksha samshaya. That anyone who's yat vichas chitra vidam hayar yasho Jagat parisham per griha karichit. Tadvayasam tirtam usanti manasa niyatraham sam niramantyu shikshaya. You heard that verse before? Yat padam chitra padam hayar yasho. That those words which don't glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Niyatraham sam, yet. What was the first word I said? Yat padam chitram padam hariyar yasho jagat parigram prigriha kari chit tadvayasam tirtam usanti manasa niyanta niyatraham sam niramam ushikshayaha yat padam chitra padam hariyar yasho jagat praritam prigriha kari chit tadvayasam. Do you know what vayasam means? Crows. You know, I was walking out here the other day and there was a crow right by. They seem to be flocking to the temple also. Did vayasam tirtam, unusual crows, of course. So those words which don't glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glory is that one can purify the entire universe, is said to be like places of pilgrimage for crows. The all-perfect persons who are residents of the spiritual world, they don't take any pleasure there. So there's two classes of people in the world. There's the vayasam, there's the crows, and there's the hungsas, the swans. The crows take pleasure where there is filthy garbage. And they enjoy living and associating there and getting the select pieces of garbage. On the other hand, the humsas, the swans, they like nice places where there is clear water, lotus flowers, fresh air. So neither of these crows will mix with the swans, nor the swans mix with the crows. So those who are interested in transcendence, they're compared to like the hunkses, the swans. And those who want to pick the garbage and the material illusory energy, they're considered to be like crows. Therefore, it's said that this Krishna consciousness movement is a revolution. Get the first word from that. Do you have the verse there?
This one?
The next one. Tadvavisargo janataga pifluo yasmin pratislokam abhadavatipi namanya nantasya shankitaniyat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sarava. Those words that don't describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or those words that describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are said to create a revolution in the lives of the impious, misdirected civilization. Although these words may be sung, incorrectly sung, or imperfectly sung, they're heard, sung, and accepted by pious men, purified men, thoroughly honest. Therefore, we can't expect that everyone's going to appreciate the philosophy. We don't find people flocking to the... Of course, we don't allow them in anymore, but... if they came, they couldn't come in. But we don't find people pounding at the door, please let me in, hear about Krishna. But these words will actually create a revolution if people will actually listen. All we do is have to try and figure out how to get people to listen. Anyone can hear that your body's changing. Such a simple thing. Everyone's experiencing it every moment. There's nothing more we're experiencing. And yet we're not changing. No one walked into this room. Gadadhara Pandit, if we say Gadadhara Pandit 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago or before he walked into the room, when he walked into the room, he's still Gadadhara Pandit, although he has a different body. Your body's different, I have to tell you. I think it disappeared, your previous body. Oh no, my body disappeared. Where is it? And never to come back again. Everyone has that experience. And a human being who has some intelligence, he'll be able to understand. But here it says that one has to become a little pious. If one is constantly engaged in sinful activity, then all what's happening, his intelligence is constantly being taken away by the illusory energy. And therefore one's power to even understand the most simple knowledge disappears. In other words, although people may be giving each other awards and praising each other, but actually, swavit rohostra karara samstuta purusha pashu niya pashu niyana patiyopeta jatu namagadagraja. That those who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they're simply glorifying the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, but they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club. So all this praising and giving people positions and talking about this and that, it's simply one little animal talking about a bigger animal, that's all. But they're all animals. Everyone in the material world and the bodily concept of life is just a type of animal. There's pious animals and there's impious animals, but everyone in the material world is an animal who's in the bodily concept of life. It's not that we're trying to insult people, we're just repeating the Bhagavatam. Yes, yasti bhakti, yes, yasti. Yes, yatma buddhi kunapetri kaduke, sudhi kalatradi shubom ijadi, yatirta buddhe sanale nakari chish, ganesh vavageshus eva gokara. That anyone who goes to, who identifies his body, which is made of three material elements, kapha, pitta, and vayu, as oneself, anyone who goes to a place of pilgrimage just to take a bath, anyone who goes, who doesn't hear from the saintly persons, is yatma buddhi kunupe trihadike swadhi, one who identifies himself with his place of birth as being worshipable. 100 years ago, I don't think there was Slovenia, was it? Now everyone thinks they're from Slovenia. You go up in the sky and look at the ground, you won't see, S-L. There's nothing, just conception people have acquired. Similarly, every other place in the world is just conception. I'm Russian, I'm American. You're not any of these things, you're not even the body. But if you identify oneself with these things and don't hear higher knowledge, and you're on the same level as a cow and an ass. So the whole material universe, practically speaking, most of it is going on in the material concept of life and just wasting time, just people transmigrating from one body to another and nothing's really being accomplished. Just like the Himalayas are about to give birth, and everyone gathered around, all the animals from the forest, the sages came to see what will the Himalayas give birth to. So there's big earthquakes and rattling and shaking. They were expecting something big to come out, and then a little tiny mouse comes out. So much is going on in the material world, so many wars, so much intrigue, so many scandals, so many different injustices going on. And ultimately, nothing's happening. Just a big show. Keep people's attention, keep them busy, and wasting their time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Therefore, if we're hearing from someone who's in the bodily concept of life, we'll be wasting our time too. All this news about nothing. Not that we should be aloof, because we have to figure out how to utilize the situation for our preaching. Then it has some value. Otherwise, hearing about the tidings of the material world is just like, according to the Bhagavatam, going to the sea, to the beach, and listening to the sea waves coming in and try to figure out what they're saying. There's a lot of noise going on. And if you try to figure out what they're saying, you're crazy because they're not saying anything meaningful whatsoever. So listening to the modern civilization talk about the activities in the modern world, just like going to the sea and listening to the sea waves coming in. Of course, we should be aware for our preaching, but in terms of what they're accomplishing by their so-called material talk and advancement, it's nothing more than the birds when they talk to each other. Beep, beep, where's the worm? Beep, beep, it's over there. That's all that's going on. With a few more verbs and nouns thrown in. So, any questions? Okay, so, Jagat Sutra. Jagannath Sutra. What did you understand from the class? You can give him the microphone.
Well, that all the different activities and things that anyone is doing, if it's not for developing Krishna consciousness, then it's just wasting his time and the other people's time also.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Gadadhar Pandit, what did you understand?
The, that if one is absorbed in this nescience, in just material knowledge, he will not be able to understand even the most simple spiritual philosophy. So all of these people who are so highly educated, they can't understand even that they're not this body.
Yes. Okay.
So real knowledge is knowledge about the about Paramatma being in all the living entities, and that's the real philosophy to know. Everything else is like wasting time.
Yes, watching the one illusion come in, watching the varieties of. I think there is Plato had the cave, and in the cave there were shadows. They were making shadows, and they were trying to figure out what the shadows were all about. That's all. People watching the shadows, trying to figure out what's going on. Absorbed in varieties of shadows, colorful shadows. Ananta, what did you understand?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for these enlightening words. And what we hear, that we are actually learning something by participating in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are benefited, and if we share with others, they are also benefited. And this knowledge will bring about a revolution in the empires, lives of this misdirected civilization. And all other knowledge outside Krishna consciousness is just wasting time and is considered as a pilgrimage place for crows.
Yes. There's still a lot of crows in the park. Black crows. Tiny ones, though. The one I saw outside was pretty small. They're not really big crows. They're
all
humble.
All generations.
They're
crows.
Humble crows. They don't pretend to be big, powerful crows. Anything else?
So, what is the relation between intelligence and logic?
Well, logic means to put things in their proper order, to figure out what is relatively correct and what is relatively incorrect according to certain criteria. But intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective. With intelligence, we can understand that there is a Supreme Person who can defy all logic. He has a chintya. He can do the inconceivable. Things that don't appear to be logical. So that intelligence means to understand things properly. And that means understand this existence of the soul, the existence of the super soul, the existence of Bhagavan, which cannot be ascertained just by logical. So within the realm of what's called pradyaksha and anuman, pradyaksha means according to what we can perceive with our present senses, there's anuman, we can deduce things from it, which we call logic. But beyond anuman, there's shabda, which is actual knowledge coming from the absolute, which surpasses any of our imperfect senses, our cheating, our committing mistakes, and our being an illusion, on which we judge our anuman, our logic. But beyond all this material understanding, there is shabda, which brings us into the realm of the inconceivable transcendence, which can only be understood and experienced through the shabda, shabda praman, by the sound coming from transcendence, beyond all our direct perception and so-called logic and logic. All right, anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.